Panama gets a new canal this weekend, but world trade is not rising to the occasion. We have a series this week about what some are calling peak trade. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This Sunday, the new Panama Canal, one of the most important arteries for commerce in the world, opens for business. I was just down there checking it out.
So this is where the ship actually exits the lock and goes into the lake to continue over to the Atlantic side.
This wider new channel means bigger ships loaded with more stuff can squeeze through, which means the Panamanians can charge bigger tolls. But what about the rest of the world? The thing that no one is talking about is this. By many measures, this canal is opening as world trade growth is petering out. The title of our coverage this week is Last Ditch Effort, the New Panama Canal and the End of Globalization.
The most significant part is not the amount of vessels, but the size of the vessels.
Ilya Demirata is Executive Vice President for Engineering for the Panama Canal Authority. It's a game of inches for the ships that squeeze through both the old and the new canal. The new locks are more than 50 feet wider. The new lane saves water, they've reforested, it created apparently 40,000 jobs, and is really a shrine to globalization.
Gates were fabricated in Italy, valves were fabricated in Korea, design was done all over the world, I mean from Chicago, Denver, Argentina, Mexico, Netherlands.
Captain Mario Hansel is maneuvering his tugboat, the Cerro Grande, behind a huge tanker as it noses toward the original canal locks on the Pacific side.
This is the part when you have to be careful. Suddenly, she kicks ahead and that would be no healthy.
The captain and his labor union are nervous about training for the new canal. The simulators they use are kind of dinky. In the old canal, locomotives on rails pull freighters and tankers through like a slingshot with the help of tugs like this. With the new lane, the massive cargo ships will thread the needle under their own power, again with tugs just in case. The Canal Authority says it has a training plan, and it's not going to rush the biggest possible ships through right away.
Easy, Grande, easy. One and two center.
And visible across the water, the new gray locks that slide closed like patio doors instead of the old school ones that open like jaws.
For us, it's going to be a game changer. We do believe it's going to change some of the world routes for commerce.
Ivan Zarac, Panama's vice minister of the economy. For his country, the canal is a cash cow. Some ships already pay more than $300,000 per trip to pass through. This generates about $1.5 billion a year for Panama, even after interest on the debt needed to build it. Roberto Eisenman is a journalist and founder of the Panamanian daily La Prensa. He tells me of a Spanish investor he knows who is searching the world for a new place for his money. The Spaniard puts Panama on his short list.
And I said, why? And he says, the Panama Canal. Panama is now building what is actually the most important public works project, certainly in the Americas and also in the world. The relationship with the United States, the U.S. dollar, and all the advantages that we have just shows me that this is a place where I want to put some of my money.
Here's Panama's play. Get some of those extra big cargo ships back from their rival, the Suez Canal, now that they can fit. And maybe, a lot more of those containers from China and the rest of Asia to the U.S. East Coast will use the canal instead of routing through Los Angeles, Seattle, or Western Canada. As long as the competing American railroads don't lower their prices to keep business from the canal. Also, there's the price of oil. It needs to be just a little higher than it is now to persuade shippers to save fuel on the Panama shortcut. Plus, something magical from Panama's perspective has happened since the canal expansion was planned. U.S. fracking. Asia loves American liquefied natural gas, but the ships that carry it from the U.S. Gulf were too big. Here's that vice minister of the economy.
The United States has become such a large producer of liquefied natural gas, or natural gas in general, and it will fit the new locks.
So if natural gas is one opportunity, what's the challenge? Well, trade in general, which never recovered from the great financial crisis. It was supposed to, but we're still waiting. There are multiple sources of data on this. Some experts even talk of peak trade.
That's the flip side of the coin. So yes, we are definitely looking closely at, you know, world commerce developments and trying to project in the best way possible what's going to be the net effect of that.
What if slower trade is here to stay and the opening of the new canal coincides with the end of globalization as we knew it? We'll look at this from different angles as the week goes on here. All of our peak trade and Panama coverage is accumulating at marketplace.org. Stock markets are rallying around the world today. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up more than 1% each, as if the Dow were up 209 points. Driving this in large part are new public opinion polls in Britain, reflecting what appears to be a shift in favor of Britain remaining a member of the European Union, with the vote set for this Thursday. Many financial players are worried about the uncertainties that would come with extracting the UK. With more, here's the BBC's Jonathan Frewin.
Last week, there was a degree of nervousness in stock markets around the world, as several opinion polls showed a tilt towards Britain voting to leave the European Union in its referendum on Thursday this week. But over the weekend, a series of polls showed a narrow edge in favour of the country remaining. In response, Japan's Nikkei ended the day up 2.3% at close to 16,000 points, and that was in spite of data showing a double-digit decline in Japanese exports in May. European markets in Germany, France and Britain are currently trading up between 2 and 3%, and the value of the pound has also strengthened against the US dollar. But analysts are cautioning that more volatility is likely this week as the referendum draws closer.
Jonathan, thank you. As more risk in the form of stocks is embraced by market participants this morning, some are selling out of the perceived safety of bonds, pushing the 10-year Treasury yield up to 1.67% now. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.